one test of Yosef HaTzadik in the Torah?
Yeah.
How in the world do we know that?
How do I know that? I don't know. Someone else said
it.
I'm just repeating.
Yosef HaTzadik Shiratzai today. So Rizovsky, Rav Shmuel Rizovsky. Rav Shmuel Rizovsky is your side today. Okay, very good. Okay, everybody, so we're at the page. Kuflin Tess, on the top of the page, we're going to try to go this very quickly because this we already discussed this. He's just elaborating more upon this idea. Vimavar al chayve krisus. A person, Rachmana Litzlan, did a terrible avera, where he's chayv karis. Vyolda. Okay, so here he's stepping up to what the avla. It's a mu'uvas. He had relations with a woman, let's say it's an Eshes Ish, or one of his relatives, and they have a child. So the child is a mamzer. Oy ba al Eshes Ish biloy oines. Let's say he seduced a woman. Now what is the mu'uvish she'ein yachol liskoin in such a situation? She's not allowed to go back to her husband. If a man rapes an Eshes Ish and she has a child, so the child's messed up. Okay, so the child is a mu'uvish she'eino yachol liskoin. But the woman is allowed to remain married to her husband. But if a man seduces a woman and she willingly has forbidden dealings with him, then she is not allowed to live with her husband anymore. A woman who willingly lives with another man is not allowed to return to her husband. So this fellow who has convinced her to do this avera has caused her irreparable damage. Because now she can no longer halachically return to her husband. So this is called a mu'uvas, an avera, something that is crooked, that cannot be corrected. So v'imavala achayve kreisus v'yolda, and he brought into this world a child. So the child is irreparable. Oy ba al eishes ish b'loy oines, which means that she can no longer return to her husband. Oh ba al eishes kain afilu b'oines, even if he raped a woman married to a kohen. The halacha is if a woman has had relations with another man, even against her will, she's not allowed to return to her husband if the husband is a kohen. So here again, it's irreparable, the damage. Oy, im yolda, oy im yolda, hoylid mamzer, if she gave birth, hoylid mamzer, and the child is a mamzer. He said that above. I'm not sure what the repetition here is referring to, but the idea is anyway the same. Ze hoyemaisa, this is story the hoyruloi. So there was such a story. And the person with these terrible averos, he went to the Chacham and he said to the Chachamim, save my soul. Save my soul. I know that when I go into the next world, I'm finished. I've done in this world damage, irreparable damage. What should I do? So the Rabbanan, they said to him to do the following. The Rabbi said, this is not very, very relevant for us, but look what he writes over here. There's nothing too relevant. Chashon, terrible things over here. And they told him, V'yasa bin Amalim, and they told him to go bury your body in ants, in worms, maggots. B'yoyim v'alayla, ha'yashoychev ala aretz, who lie on the earth. B'yoysachama, in the summertime, G'desh Yalu, paro yishimulav, in order that moths, and who knows lice? Who knows what these things are? V'nokel ze be'enav, and it was easy for him. So he did more things. V'holach orum bimkoyim kaveres devarim v'oksu bo atshoyan ofuach. He went naked in front of bees. He went to a beehive with no protection, and the bees bit away, and until his whole body was swollen. When he was healed, he went back for more abuse. Also, pa'omim rabois kemoshe kosavnu. See, here's such a thing. These stories over here are like for us are fairy tales, such stories. A person did an avera, and he's really worried about his neshama. Okay, it's very refreshing to read about this story, not because of the punishment, because it's so not relevant for us, But to hear about a person who did an Avera and is really worried, what is going to be with my neshama after I leave this world? No one lives forever, just a matter of time. And then my neshama is going to go back to where it came from, and they're going to review my life, and they're going to see that I did a terrible Avera, and I'm in a lot of trouble. It bothered him. It really, really bothered him. And he did these outrageous things in order to somehow bring upon himself suffering so he has some ammunition when he comes to the next world and they have a complaint against him, he can say, you're right, I made a mistake. And I tried my whole life to do teshuva. I mean, how does all this work? I don't know, but this is what it says. V'imchoto harbe pamim b'isha tzoch harbe shonim lasayz k'moshe koshav kan. V'imhoilid mamzeidim hari amru mamzeidim lechayin. Now, what does this mean? This is a very frightening thing. It says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu does not allow mamzerim to penetrate into the yichus of Klal Yisrael. HaKadosh Baruch Hu brings about in his mysterious ways that mamzerim die. Okay, a person dies and why? Because he was a mamzer. Who would ever know he was a mamzer? How could that possibly? This is something which you're not even allowed to try to understand. This is hard for us to understand what this means. Umalin alav ki'ilu shayfech damim. So he's saying over here something very, very frightening. A person brings into this world a mamzer, so he's a murderer. Why is he a murderer? Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not going to allow this person to live a long life. So you're causing another human being to suffer because since he's a mamzer, and Hashem does not allow mamzerim to live, so you are indirectly causing a person's death. Very good. You're saying something very, very modern. But you're saying it very modern that today there's abortion, and a woman, if a man makes a woman pregnant, and the woman is from a society where she will have an abortion, so you're also causing death. The person, not only did he do an avera, he also, besides the agmas nefesh she gave the woman in the whole process, but also the baby, which in the society is not considered to be murder, but in halach it is. You're also causing that. So all of these horrible things.
But let's go. Punishing yourself doesn't accomplish anything.
It seems that it does. Rabbi Yehuda Chas, it seems to say that it does.
No, but he said that even if you do a lot of mitzvahs, then you're saying, well, maybe the pluses will counterbalance the negatives. That doesn't work either.
You need to do teshuva for the Avera. And the teshuva he's saying here, we don't know what this means, is self-infliction. To bring upon yourself affliction, l'shem shemayim, that it should serve as a kapara for his averos. You've never ever heard anyone today suggest such a thing. Okay, there's no rabbi today that's going to go tell a person to do what it says over here. Not Christians. Don't bring it. We're talking about Orthodox Jews. If a person goes to rabbi and says, I once heard of a story where a person, I think Rabbi Goldwasser mentioned this. He said that there was a fellow that a regular fine person like anyone else. It was Erev Shabbos, and he was getting ready for Shabbos, and he went online to the computer to finish up some work. And before he turned around, he realized it was already Shabbos. It was way past candle lighting, way past Shkia Tzitzak Chavim. He just got carried away. Not doing an Averis, not talking about doing that, talking about just whatever he was doing, working. And he came to Rabbi Goldwasser, and he said, my whole life, I was never Mechal Shabbos. I don't know how I just got swept away. I was very busy, and I was working, and I didn't realize it was already Shabbos. And it bothers me to no end that I was Mechal Shabbos. I was working on Shabbos, whatever it was, a half an hour into Shabbos. And What should I do? And he said, he said that he worked with him to come up with a plan. I don't know what exactly he told him to do teshuva. It doesn't seem from his speech that he told him to go roll in the mud. It seems from his speech like he told him that maybe Mikan Laba for the next significant period of time, that every year, every Erev Shabbos, you should go to shul an hour early. You should be mekabel Shabbos very early. Instead of being mekabel Shabbos bizman, you come to shul 5 minutes before mincha. For the next year, you should go to shul an hour before mincha and sit and learn, review the parasha. Or you should extend Shabbos. That's the approach today. The approach today, when a person, Rachman al-Islam, does an Avera and it bothers them, most people doesn't bother. They don't care. They don't come to ask the rabbi what to do. But a person who it bothers and they come ask the rabbi what to do, you're not going to ever hear, don't tell me, in this Jewish generation, someone's going to open up this book and say, I think you should go roll in the street in the gutter and get all that nice and dirty and get sick, infected with insects and mosquitoes and who knows what. What every rabbi is going to tell you to do is, what did you do? Were you mechal Shabbos? The solution is, add to Kedusha Shabbos. Don't bring punishment upon yourself. Bring upon yourself additional holiness. If until now you mekabel Shabbos bizman, so mekabel Shabbos 15-10 minutes early mikandel lahaba. If until now on Shabbos you did certain activities, be machmir. For the next year, don't do certain things on Shabbos as an additional level of chumrah in order to make up for the chil Shabbos. The response approach in our generation is to be positive, not to focus on the negative, bring upon yourself punishment, to fast and to do this. That's not. No one's going to tell you that today. We're not on that level. Today, you don't hear people telling you to fast. Today, you're not going to hear a rabbi telling a person, you did an Avera, so you should fast Monday and Thursday. You're not going to hear that. Fasting today is not something which we look as being a healthy thing to do. No one rabbi wants the responsibility of telling a person you should fast. Number one, they'll get sick. Okay, you're gonna upset.
Fasting is healthy in some
ways. So if it's healthy, leave that for the doctors. Not on my plates.
It's
if it's healthy, if you're gonna tell me it's healthy, good. If it's healthy, you go fast. No rabbi is not gonna say to a person today, you should fast Monday, Thursday for the next 6 months. Oh, the guy might end up in the hospital. The guy might... You're right. I'm not accepting responsibility to tell a person to go change his eating patterns. If you're going to tell me that the doctor, you're convinced, you read enough books, and you spoke to enough people that tell you that it's very healthy, good for you. You do it. Don't rely upon me. I should go and tell you to do these type of things which can possibly affect your health. No rabbi today is on a madrega that they're so confident in their spiritual guidance that they're going to tell you how you should conduct yourself to take care of your health. Every person is different. It's not going to happen. I'm sorry. It's not a responsible thing for any rabbi to go talk like that to anyone today in our society. But it's not today. Today you don't hear this. If someone today is, you don't. No one today. That was a traditional way of accepting upon yourself additional fasts. You don't hear it today. You just don't hear this today.
Also today, I don't think.
It's enough what we have. It's hard enough to fast. Ask these people. Do you fast already all the four fast days besides Yom Kippur? Do you fast on you'll be shocked how many people don't fast during the fourth Tzimis. Asar B'Teve, Shavas B'Tamuz, Tisha B'Av, Atzom Gedalia. Everyone has an excuse. Doctor gave me an excuse. I'm taking medication. You don't want to throw yourself off. Balance. First thing is, do first what you're supposed to do. Yom Kippur, you don't got a choice. The four fast days, you should be fasting. Unless there's some good reason why you're not going to fast. And that's not my problem. That's Chazal. We've been doing that. Tainus Esther, you should be fasting. If you're already doing all of those things meticulously and you want to fast more, on your plates, not on my plates. I never heard of a rabbi today tell a person to fast. Okay, the only time you do hear fasting is if you drop a Sefer Torah. If you drop a Sefer Torah, because that's Shulchan Aruch. Okay, that's not like the rabbi is coming to invent a new fast day for you. Don't invest. That's Shulchan Aruch. You have to fast if you drop a sefer. And even that, there are so many leniencies. So many leniencies even in that. Okay, let's go further.
Excuse me. It looks that this book has a Shulchan Aruch on the Hasidim.
No, I disagree.
The Hasidim
do that. There's no Chassid today. Chassidim who do this today. I'm sorry.
No, look that they should not know what to do this. Hasidim, yeah. Because they were Hasidim.
This was written 7...
Hasidim.
700 years ago. Yeah. 700 years ago, there was no such thing what we call a chassid. Chassidim first came into existence about 450 years ago. They first came into existence, and you wouldn't even recognize them. You would not. The Baal Shem Tov was 450 years ago. The Baal Shem Tov was 450 years ago. 350?
300.
No, more, more, more. More, almost 400 years. Can't be it. I think almost 400 years. The Baal Shem Tov had to be close to 400 years ago.
320, I think.
330 years ago.
That's it?
He was born.
Until he created the whole thing? That's like a paragraph in history. Yeah. So it's a very modern thing. Sefer Hasidim was 700 years ago. Do you know Hasidim? It's called Sefer Hasidim. David says, Shomer Nafshi ki chosid ani. Well, David wore a strimal? Is that what it means? Shomer Nafshi ki chosid ani. He made a l'chaim. He wore a strimal, a garotel. That's what it means. That's not what it means. When David HaMelech said, Shomer Nafshi ki chosid ani, it means because I work very hard on myself. I'm a Baal Musar. I'm a Baal Musar. I work on myself to do what is required of me to serve you. Okay.
You are not Mekubar?
Okay, where are you at? Time?
You are not Mekubar?
David HaMelech?
No, Rabbi Yehuda Hasid.
We know very little about Rabbi Yehuda Hasid.
Oh, he was a Ruach Kodesh because he said.
We know very, very little about Rabbi Yehuda Hasid. Very little. He had a tzava. Do not confuse this book with the tzava of Rabbi Yehuda Hasid. The tzava of Rabbi Yehuda Hasid is one page. It's one page. This is the whole book.
But where should you read it?
They have it in the other
Why
volume.
Why?
Let's go further. We're wasting time. Let's go further. Let us move further. Now, next halacha v'chein mish boyal v'avaloki yilu shavzam v'chein mish boyal aramis v'yaldu menu. Another halacha oisay shakasav l'mala. Another halacha is if he has relations with a goy and has a child with a non-Jewish woman. So that child is not a happy camper. Okay, that's not a good situation to be in. So al yoimar, a person should not say, Hari Amar of Yehuda, Bo'isa Isha, Bo'isa Bokim, Bo'isa Perek, Akayim Zeh. Now there's a principle in Teshuva. This is a very basic principle. The only way a person can prove himself that he has repented is if the exact same situation presents itself and you don't do the Avera. Okay, it's almost an impossibility. A person is nichshol. He's nichshol in doing an Avera. And you work, and the person who works on himself, that he should never ever come and do that, and to do teshuvah. Your person knows that he is forgiven as if it happens to be b'hashkocha pratis, HaKadosh Baruch Hu creates exactly the same situation with the same difficulty, and this time he makes a decision not to do the Avera. That is a revelation that he has done teshuva to the degree that is required upon him and he is forgiven. So a person should say, listen, what are the chances in life that the exact same situation will present itself, I can prove. The Al Yoimar, Hari Omar of Yehuda, if a person wants to say the teshuva, he has to have that same exact woman that he was nichshol in last time has to present herself. Ba'oisei makam, the environment. Ba'oisei perek, the time period. Akayim zeh, kishemo, the person should not say that. The person should not say, listen, I'll live a regular life. I'm not going to roll around in the dust and bring upon myself affliction. And you know how I'm going to do teshuva? I'm going to wait patiently for the same situation to present itself, and I won't do it. And that's what's going to happen. Why? Because guess what? It may very well happen that the next time around you'll do the Avera again. Okay? It's not a good idea if a person should deliberately bring himself to an Avera. We say in davening, why do those two go together? Because 99% of the time when you're presented with a Nisayoin, you come lidei bizoyoin. So it's not a proper approach to say, you know what, I did an Avera, it's all good, it's fine, the way I will do teshuva is because it's going to happen again, another nisayon, and next time around I'm not going to do the avera. Guess what? First of all, who says you'll have another situation like that will come around? Number two, if you do have another situation that comes around that is exactly like this, the chances are you'll do the avera again. So you might as well get your act together now and start doing things to do teshuva. His approach over here was, again, is to do negative things. I told you that today this is unheard of. Today the approach to do teshuva is to do positive things, to mechazik yourself, to take upon itself the things to be in the positive form, not the negative form. Next. These things are not relevant for us, but let's read it very quickly. A person had relations with a non-Jewish woman. What is the solution? To fast 3 days. Can you imagine? I'll die this. Die 3 days non-stop. Can you imagine to not eat for 3 days non-stop, not day, not night? 72 hours of no food and no drink. End up in the hospital. And you shall do this on the anniversary of the Avera 3 years. 3 years in a row, 3 days in a row. Every on the anniversary of the Avera, you have to go repeat this process of fasting for 3 days straight.
How do you expect to
survive? She'll say, good for you. V'im roitze yase gimel palmim v'gimel yom v'gimel leilos v'shon achas. If you want to do, you want to accelerate it, do it in 1 year. V'dailoi, this is so bizarre to us. We almost laugh when we read this, right? We almost laugh when we read this. Yeah.
It doesn't say
tzedakah. It just says we did it. It doesn't say the technique what to do. It just says we did it. We acknowledge that we've done these averos. How are we going to rectify that? That's another story. That's not for Yom Kippur. Obviously, this is not for the faint of heart. What is though very refreshing is that there are such people that it really bothers. Can you imagine doing an avera bothers a person to no end? You really believe that the day is going to come where you're going to be held accountable for that avera. Everything is an open book. In the Olam HaEmes, they're going to open up the book and they're going to say, you did this avera, and there's a consequence. And the person really sees that in front of him. And he wants to take action now to lighten the severity of what he has done. It's very, very refreshing that there can be such people in this world. Now look at this. Can you imagine this? Look at this. A person goes in the house, he has a child with a non-Jew. And what is this child end up doing? Well, in the olden days, he ends up being an idolater. And today, he's a serial murderer. So you brought into this world a person that's not a good person. What are the chances that this person is going to be a productive person in society? Out of wedlock, a married man, a Jew, has relations with a non-Jew, has a child, covers it up, they send us some money. What kind of life does this kid have? This kid goes to public school, and who knows what becomes of him? He's not a productive person in society. He's a person that probably caused a lot of harm in society. And that's all on your record. On your record. And what about his children, his grandchildren? It goes on and on and on, perpetuates for generations. This guy's in even more trouble. So here becomes all the religious people. Right? All the religious people. You always have excuses. David HaMelech, Basheva. You always hear this, right? The defense. When all these people get caught, what do they say? David HaMelech. David HaMelech. It's lonely at the top. Okay? I have to go give you some names of politicians. Very, very public politicians and all of their very pathetic excuses. And they become very religious. And they talk about David HaMelech. He was nichshol with Bathsheba in Eishes Ish, Eishes Ur Yachiti. And you go through the whole Tanakh, Yehuda and Tamar. And now here you say, Shimshon HaGibor, what do you want from me? It says in Chazal that the Goyim would line up. There was a line out the door. Husbands would bring their wife, line up at the door, that Shimshon, can you please do me a favor and make my wife pregnant? Why? I want to have a son that's very tough, like you, a mafia man, just like you. I want a son That's a gibor. It's a warrior. So do me a favor. Here's my wife. Can you please make her pregnant for me? And he did it. Okay, that's what it says. And you say that today, you take the Sefer Shoftim, you close the book, and you say it's censored. And better we don't teach Tanakh to children. We don't want to give them the wrong ideas. And people have, you should know, a lot of people say this, not even a joke, because Sefer Shmuel Melachim, it's all about murder, revenge, avodah zarah, and a lot of the lessons, in Nach and Nevi'im Rishonim are they at face value teach horrible, horrible lessons to young people. Now, I'll tell you, you'll say big deal. Just watch television for 15 minutes. It's a lot worse. So you might as well give them a head start and learn some Tanakh, okay? Because it's a lot better than what you're going to see on television. But you know, it is an issue. It's not a joke. It's really not a joke. And if you don't have qualified people teaching Tanakh, it's a really big problem, because it's a lot of the basic things like this. You learn Shoftim, Yeshua Shoftim, right? So Yeshua Shoftim, and you come to Shoftim, and Yeshua Shnagibar, and it says in the Pasuk, they would bring, that's what they did every day, they bring, do me a tov and make my wife pregnant. What? What are you talking about? Today's society, to say such a thing like that, you got to be out of your mind. So what does it mean? What do these things mean? How do you explain David and Bathsheba? How do you explain Yehuda and Tamar? How do you explain these things? I don't know. But unfortunately, when people are nichshel in averos, and you hear politicians that say this all the time, they get caught with their pants down, literally. And then they go and they say, well, what do you want from me? Look at the greatest of the great, David HaMelech, Shimshon HaGibor. All of a sudden, they're old age. They become Bible experts. Okay? And that's exactly what it says here. Al yoy mar adam v'haloy. What do you want from me? Shimshon HaGibor. Bo'al Aramis. V'yakadosh Baruch Hu osu loy nisim. He won the election. Just because he did terrible averos. He won the election. Hashem did miracles for Shimshon HaGibor. So just because I have a very bad private life. Kigoyin min halachi. The Maisa where we took the Maisa where the Maisa there where we took the animals and he ripped the animals to pieces. The cheeks. He ripped off a cheek of a lion.
The donkey.
He ripped off the jaw of the donkey, just ripped it to shreds. How could it be? Ki yesh loymar sheshimshon hayo doichakon v'giron. Now the answer here is not at all very satisfying in the least bit of the sense. Shimshon hayo doichakon v'giron v'chein havlodos. He pushed them away, and he converted them to Judaism, and their children as well. Now basically, he did it the right way. What does that mean? I don't know what it means. Okay, but he basically for our purposes is
he could have made them abundant.
Basically, what he's saying is don't cite biblical sources to legitimize your averos. If you're guilty, you're guilty. Don't go and justify, become creative, become a Talmud Chacham, and legitimize that it wasn't really usur, and it's this and it's that. It's a novel Bereshus HaTorah. I told you, it is very strange. I told you, this is a very hard sefer to learn. It's very, very strange. We're running out of time. The Esther Amra Kasher Avarti Avarti. We just learned this today. Until now, but now I'm going to be forbidden to you. Esther's told Mordechai, until now I was forced. I'm going to listen, I'm going to do willingly. He's saying an amazing, amazing insight here. If you pay attention to what he's saying. He just said something on the previous page that is so bizarre, many people would just immediately censor this book. But he says, it's not bizarre. It's a pasuk in Megillas Esther. Esther said to Klal Yisrael, "V'tzumu olai shloishes yomim laila v'yom, gam ani v'narosai otzum kein." We will also fast. She told Klal Yisrael to fast on her behalf for 3 days. Now, when you go to Cheder and they teach you that pasuk, this is what they say. First of all, they tell you it does not mean to fast 3 days in a row. That's impossible. The whole Klal Yisrael cannot possibly fast 3 days when they're going to die. So it means 3 days, it means there was a break. You fast one day, the fast starts at night, and it ends with Shkia. And you, you get to eat. And you eat. No, but when you eat, you get to eat right away. You fast 24 hours and you eat. And then you fast another 24 hours and you eat. And another 24 hours. So that's the first thing they teach you is that when it says here, that it says in the Pshut Shel Mikra, Vitzimu Olai Shleish HaSyamim Laila V'yoyim, it does not mean continuously. It means 3 periods of 24 hours, but you're allowed to eat. It's a special type of fast. Number two, why are you fasting? That I should have siyata d'shmaya when I make my request on behalf of Klal Yisrael. I'm going in now to plead with the king not to destroy, not to allow this genocide to go into effect. There's a law which allows the goyim to destroy Klal Yisrael. I'm going to make a request. I'm going to reveal to him that I'm Jewish. I'm your queen. How dare you exterminate my people? He may say to me, you're Jewish? He'll put me to death on the spot. And he'll accelerate. It can be even worse. I need siyata d'shmaya, divine success in what I'm about to do. That's what they taught us in the Cheder. Along comes Rabbi Yehuda HaChos and says, I don't know what he taught you in Cheder, but let me tell you my pshat in the pasuk. Siyata d'shmaya, that's not what Esther was worried about. Esther is doing an Avera. And Esther is worried about her neshama. When she comes to the next world, she's worried. Where's my neshama going to go? They're going to send me downstairs or upstairs? So if I'm going to do for you, Klal Yisrael, a favor and beg the king to save you, you got to pay me back. I'm not asking you to fast. You should fast. That I should have siyata d'shmaya when I go before the king. I could take care of myself. I don't need your help. That's seemingly what he's saying. He's saying, I need you to fast because I'm about to do a terrible avera and have relations with a goy willingly. And that's going to destroy my neshama. And it bothers me. And the only solution is fasting. I'm going to fast. I'm going to fast for 3 days in a row. And all of my servants are going to fast. And guess what? I want the whole Klal Yisrael to fast to save my neshama. Because in Shemayim, they don't do favors for people. It's either you deserve it or you don't. Not like America, where if you can get away with it, you get away with it. It's not the way it works in Shemayim. In Shemayim, everything is fair and square. And if you got a problem, it's your problem. No handouts. There are no government programs in Shemayim. Okay, you got to earn your keep in Shemayim. Okay, there's no Section 8. You don't live in a palace, Gan Eden, because there's taxpayer money going to pay for your mansion. It's not the way it works. If you don't deserve it, you don't get it. You're in the street. Esther's worried. She's telling them, you got to help me out. This is a very novel translation of the Pasuk in Chumash that you're not going to find, I guarantee you, in the art scroll Megillah.
That's the Gemara
Yishalah on Ben Sorer. That's the Gemara. That's the fast for my neshama. That we know, but the fast.
I'm living with Achashverosh for so many years, and if this doesn't work out to help Klal Yisrael, then me and you are both going to burn because we did something terrible.
No, that's not what the Gemara says there. I don't know, maybe the Pasha found the Pasuk is, I need siyata d'shmaya, help me. The Rabbi Yehuda Chassid says, the Sefer Achim says it's not a pshat, it needs many pshatim.
I
am
a
Torah.
That's an issue
of the Chashor Avad. I'm not allowed to return back any longer to Mordechai.
We're both up the creek if this doesn't work out.
It says in the Gemara?
We invested so much time in me living living with Achashverosh and nothing, it didn't come to fruition, if this doesn't work out, then we made a terrible mistake.
And that's what it says in the Gemara? Okay, could be. It could be. If that's what it says, it says.
That's the way my Rebbe taught us.
Okay, it could be. Okay, in
a chanam. But there also the added fact that this was all taking place during the Pesach, during the Seder, that they weren't...
She was Mevatel Pesach.
Yeah.
They did not have a Seder that year. Right. If we're not going to do it this year, then there will not be Seder next year either, because there won't be a Jewish people. It's another issue. There are many of the elements which come together.
We also have this with Asar of the Pages, that we say that there was a Tana Shoal, that they sent them over to the other side to
protect
the Christians.
That's the third.
And we fast because...
Asar of the Pages? We fast because...
It was during the test.
What?
No,
Chaf, the test. Chaf Sivan?
No, this is Shnei Zamu Line.
Yeah. That's the ninth day of Tevis. The ninth day. It says in Shulchan Aruch that you're supposed to fast 3 days in a row. The eighth, the ninth, and the tenth. The tenth, we know why. Because that is when the siege began. The siege on Yerushalayim began on the ninth, the tenth day of Tevis. Nebuchadnezzar laid siege to Yerushalayim. The eighth day is when the Torah was translated into Greek. And Choshech came down into the world for 3 days. And then it says in Shulchan Aruch, you are supposed to fast on the eighth, on the ninth day as well. And the reason we do not know, the time is not known. It's tradition to fast on day nine, and the time is not known. And because it's not known, when you say you don't know the reason in Shulchan Aruch, you can imagine when you create a storm. People will tell you, I know the reason. And indeed, there are like only 100 reasons. What does Mishnah Berurah say the reason is? Ezra HaSofer passed away on the ninth day of Tevis. That's what the Mishnah Berurah says from the Knesset HaGedolah. Shneur Leiman, he has a lot to say about this, and he basically says that's the day when Paul died.
Right.
Paul, who?
Shaul. His name was Shaul.
Peter. Maybe it was Peter. Maybe it was Peter died. Peter died. Yeah. Who is Peter? He has a whole presentation that Peter was a Tana.
Right.
He was a holy, holy, holy Tana who sacrificed himself for Klal Yisrael. He became the Pope. Not that there was no Pope then, but he basically became the Pope, the first Pope. And it's very, like, basically he was Shomer Shabbos. He just appeared only in very limited times did he appear to the people, and he told them, you should stop doing the mitzvahs, and he told them, instead of Shabbos, you should observe Sunday.
No bris,
in order to be mavdil between the Torah true Jews, because this was considered to be a threat that would have destroyed Klal Yisrael from within. But in the process of doing so, he lost his legacy. He's only known as Peter. He's not known as the Tana, the Halakha Tana, Rabbeinu Peter. Peter's a Jewish name. Okay, it became a Goyish name because that's part of the sacrifice, and in order to atone, what are you fasting for? So we on the ninth day of Teves, we remember him. The reason why it says in Shulchan Aruch is we don't know the reason. Is if it would say the reason in Shulchan Aruch, you just could imagine how many pogroms there would be in the streets. And how much blood would be spilled? Rav Yosef Cairo went. What did I just say? So the Shulchan, the Baal Shulchan, the Mechaber, what did he do? He went out of his way in order to say that we don't know the reason. So no one should come and make a pogrom, and they shouldn't go and kill Jews because of this tainus. The ninth day you fast. Those who know. Those who don't know. But it's because of. The Tana Rabbeinu Peter. And he has a very fascinating lecture on this, probably one of the most popular lectures that online that was ever listened to.
Yeah, who was it?
Shneur Leiman, yeah.
I heard that
he wrote it. Peter wrote Nishmas Kol Chai. Rabbeinu Peter is the author of the tefillah of Nishmas that we say on Shabbos and Yom Tov. Correct. Okay, there's even more, there are a lot more things to the story. All the details, very, very, very fascinating. Let's now finish up this paragraph and we'll stop. So he told after right in the middle of the paragraph on page Kuf Samach, and Bol Lefnei Chacham, Lishol Ha'ich Yaseh Shishchaber Loi, Yesh Loi Lohairoi, so he's saying, don't go challenge me. What I'm telling you is a pasuk in Megillas Esther. Just like Esther, before she lived with a non-Jew, she did this Avera L'Shem Shemayim, she demanded in exchange that Klal Yisrael fast 3 days. So for Rachmana Litzlan, a Jew is Nichshol in this Avera, the solution is to fast 3 days in a row. Therefore, Yesh Lachabal Hoz, Yesh Loy Lachoros, Yeshotim Gimel Yom, Gimel Lelis, Ritzufim. Now, like what they taught us in Yeshiva, where you have a break in the middle, he says 3 days continuously. V'im Yoldom, Yemen, Banim, Banos, Vaibdim, Lelizora, Aval Pishloy, Mishavin, Lahoilid, Kavan, Shayadesh, Ashachiv, Misha, He, Misaberis, Sarach, Lachabal, Din Al Zeh. Don't say, oh, I don't know if she would get pregnant. How was I supposed to know? Person will say, when I come to the Olam HaEmes, they're not going to be able to punish me for the child. Because, Oynes, Shachmana Patre, how was I supposed to know she would get pregnant? Well, if you live with a woman, guess what happens? It happens that she becomes pregnant. So it's not an excuse. Therefore, a person has no, he has to take that into consideration. Every single year, he has to fast. He seems to be saying here, you fast every single year because of the consequence of what came from it. If you want to go take this to an extreme, I'll tell you something very, 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 very horrific. If you want to take what he just says to an extreme, if you study the commentators, there's a very, very big struggle on the Mefarshim as to why today we fast Tainus Esther. Why? Why do we fast Tainus Esther? Why? Who says? Chazal don't invent fast days l'chol hadoris. You don't do it. It's just not something that's done. There are 4 fast days. We have Yom Kippur. Yom Kippur, you're going nowhere because it says that in the Torah. Okay? V'nis ves nafsha seichem. The other 4 fast days were sanctioned by the prophets. Hatzoyim harivihi, hatzoyim hachamishi, hatzoyim hashvivi, hatzoyim hoasiri. It's a pasuk. You can't get out of it. Yirmiyah sanctioned these fast days to commemorate the 4 different stages of the Chorban. Today, it's really more of a minhag. It's not an obligation because it's been such a long time. But it originated by the words of a Nevi'im. But how do you explain this fast day that we have called Tainus Esther? So you want to say maybe, oh, it's because of Esther, this Vitzumolai, Shloishas, Gam. So then do it during Nisan. I mean, you can't fast during Nisan. Is it because of the war? They fought a Mulchama, it was very dangerous. You look in the commentators, you will notice that they struggle to explain why Chazal instituted that there should be every single year a Tainus called Tainus Esther. You now have just had the privilege of learning something which most people don't learn, Sefer Chassidim, and he writes here that if a person is nichshol in living with a non-Jewish woman, for that he has to fast 3 days in a row. And that's it. If he has children from a child from this, so the child lives on, and the child is an Oved Avodah Zarah, a guy. The father's a guy. So every single year, you have to fast 3 days in a row. And now he connects the dots, and he says, and Esther told Klal Yisrael to fast for 3 days. That was because she was now about to engage in an act of living with a guy. So why do we have to fast? Why are we still fasting every single year? Well, if you connect the dots, if you can say such a suggestion, well, guess what happened when Esther lived with Ahasuerus? She had a child. Don't tell me, I know you'll tell me Midrashim, there was a shade, all of these Midrashim, but let's put those Midrashim to the side. Al Derech Pshat, Esther had a child with Ahasuerus. His name was Daryovesh HaParsi. So Sefer Chassidim says that if a woman, they live with a goy and they have a child, you have to fast 3 days in a row to atone for the act of living with the goy, and every single year you have to fast because they produce a child. So the fact, according to the Sefer Chassidim, the reason why we have a Tainus Esther is a natural outgrowth of the fact that Daryovesh Hamodi was born. And Daryovesh Hamodi probably today, very likely, has descendants all over the world. Goyim, non-Jews. What? Well, even if they're Jewish, he says here, even if they're Jewish, it doesn't matter. Just because they're Jewish, it's not a normal life. If the father's a goy, if a woman lives with a goy, the woman needs to do tshuva. Yeah, she has a child. The child's Jewish because of the mother. And who has custody? More likely than not, this child is an embarrassment and has a non-Jewish father, ends up behaving like a goy, being mechal Shabbos, many cases, and he probably ends up intermarrying, very likely marrying a goy, and who knows what comes from that. So the payrois from such a union, he says, demands every single year you have to fast 3 days. Now we don't do 3 days, but maybe our Tainus Esther, based upon what we have just read, is, you know why? Daryovesh Hamodi. Would you ever hear such a pshat like that?
That's an assumption.
That's an assumption built on something that isn't even necessarily come true. I mean, there's no consensus on whether she had a child with him.
Right. She had a child with him? Yeah, well, I think the consensus is that she did have a child.
There are other opinions that
she did not have a child. Birth. There are other opinions that say that she never lived with him. She sent a shade.
A
robot.
There are other opinions that she practiced contraception, or that
a moich,
that she became sterile after that.
Okay.
They don't have a consensus.
I accept. They are conflicting mamore chazal. But if you will accept as a possibility that she really did have a child with Achashverosh, and his name was Daryovesh HaParsi, which I think many, 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 many very straight people do accept, then, and you connect the dots with what says in Sefer Chassidim, I didn't mean it like that, I'm sorry, but you take a look at what it says over here in Sefer Chassidim, and you connect the dots, wow! It answers a question that the commentators struggle and are pulling out their hair to understand. Why is there a fast day called Tainus Esther? Why is there a fast day? Just because they had a milchama in the time of Mordechai v. Esther, we have to observe they fasted when they went to, in the olden days, they fast when they went to. Today, if there's a Rachmana Lislam, there's a battle in Eretz Yisrael, and it falls out during Yom Kippur time, I guarantee you go online and you'll read that the Rabbanut, the chief rabbi, both the Ashkenaz and Sfar, have issued a psak halacha that every soldier should eat on Yom Kippur. Because when you go into battle, in Lebanon, you go into battle in the Gaza, you should be the top of your game. And they'll issue a psak halacha, both Ashkenaz and Sfar, psak halacha, you have to eat. Okay, that's not the way it was in time of Chazal. Time of Chazal, when you go to war, you don't eat. Because you're doing teshuva and you're fasting, it's a mechames mitzvah. It's a whole different approach to Zodimira. So you're going to tell me that ad hayom hazeh we have to fast? We're going to fast ad hayom hazeh because of the mechama? You don't find that we fast mechama. So that's one of the popular answers. Because since there was a mechama going on and they were afraid for their lives, we commemorate that with the fast day. That's a very weak answer, I find. I mean, not only me, I find. So you want to go say because of itzumu olai, shloishes, yamin, what exactly Esther? Well, that took place in Chodesh Nisan. During Pesach time. And what's the reason? To commemorate what she did? To commemorate? Why would we have to commemorate that? So there are a lot of, there are different, they struggle. But when you read this, it's very practical. It's not because of what she took care of herself. But there's another halacha. If you have a baby due to this act, every single year, mikanu lahaba, you have to fast. And being that this act, okay, being that this act resulted in, it was an act for Klal Yisrael, it wasn't an act for an individual, Hatzolas Klal Yisrael, which produced a Daryavish Amadi, you connect the dots, you have a whole new insight into why Arayim Azeh was still fasting. So maybe Rabbi Yehuda Chosid, his ideas that appear to be so outrageous aren't so outrageous after all. Okay, we'll stop here. Take a very short break, and I'll tell you just a little varied because we're running out of time. How about